Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew is back and welcoming you to the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, January 24th, 2015. And this is your kick butt MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting and exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, as promised, we are back, hooking you up with the coolest OTR surprises out there. I know I promised it last week, and you know me, Lucky Lou always, always comes through on his promises. So, if you wouldn't mind me introducing the presenter for tonight's program, he is, one of those Canadian guys right out of the Badlands of Canada, Mad Max Crawford. Yep, Mad Max is doing one of those things that he likes to do, and that's put together some really interesting OTR for you guys. But don't worry, he's not going to be asking you to give up the gas. So, if everybody could just please sit back, relax, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Mad Max, the microphone is yours.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one and only Maxwell to welcome you to Michael's Saturday Surprise for Saturday, January the 24th, 2015. Happy New Year. Our theme deals with, do you trust what you experience? Do you trust what you think you experience? Do you trust people? Well, let's start the first program. Here is Theater 5 and Point of Impact. It's aired on March the 24th, 1965.
Good morning, sir.
Lieutenant Holden. Oh, what are you doing here at this time of the morning?
Well, I'm sorry to wake you up, sir, but I think...
Come in, man. It's a bit too chilly to be talking in doorways. Now then, what did you say brought you here?
Well, I'm afraid this is an emergency, Colonel.
Lieutenant, if this is an emergency, get to the point right away.
Yes, sir. We found that they've launched another rocket and...
Now, come on, Holden. During the past 15 years, they've launched several thousand rockets. Did you wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to let me know they've launched another one?
No, sir, not exactly. The reason I woke you up is because... Well, this particular rocket is heading straight toward us.
Theater 5 presents Point of Impact.
Are you sure you haven't made a mistake somewhere?
Yes, sir, I am. Now, all our calculations show the rocket is headed straight toward us. And unless something alters its course, it'll probably hit within a radius of 5 to 10 miles from the base.
All right. I assume you have a car waiting?
Yes, sir.
Jim, what's happened?
You wait for me in the car, Lieutenant. I'll be out in a couple of minutes.
Jim, what's going on?
Nothing important, really. Go back to bed, dear. There's nothing to worry about.
But who was that?
Who was who?
Now, Jim, please, who was that you were talking to?
Lieutenant Holden. You must remember him. You met him at the Watsons a couple of
times. Jim, stop this nonsense. What did he want?
Nothing.
Then where are you going?
To base operations. I have to check something. There seems to be a little problem in Lieutenant Holden.
What sort of problem?
Oh, it's nothing important. I told you, it's just that these young kids, you know, they just get their gold bars and they...
What sort of problem?
Kathy, I already told you, nothing important.
Colonel, you're not talking to your 5-year-old son now. He might be easier to convince that the commanding officer of an air defense base is awakened at 3 a.m. Not by phone, but by a personal visit. For no reason.
Kathy, go back to sleep. Of course he had a reason for waking me up. But there is no cause for alarm. Lieutenant Holden is a bright young man, but he's also inexperienced, and he knows it. He could not afford to take a chance. He thinks we've got a problem on our hands, and rather than face it alone, he came to see me. I'm going to base operations to see what's going on, and I'll be back in half an hour. Have you called the president, Lieutenant?
No, sir, not yet. I thought I'd let you know first.
Good. Now, let me have it from the top. What do we know about the rocket?
Not much, sir. We believe it's one of their latest models, probably 1 million pounds thrust.
That's more than enough for a nuclear head.
Well, now, we tracked it first from launch, and it seemed like a routine launch at first, but we kept an eye on it anyway. The tracking equipment showed a speed of roughly 17,800 miles an hour.
That's routine for orbiting a satellite, man.
Begging the Colonel's pardon, sir, but that was several hours ago. There were 3 orbits of the Earth. I mean, the whole thing was first placed into an orbit of the Earth.
You mean rocket and all?
Yes, sir, rocket and all. Now, the whole thing orbited 3 times, and then something happened which we can't explain so far. The rocket left the orbit, changed course, and began heading straight toward us.
And it's a manned spaceship.
Well, no, sir. We're sure of that. The radio tracking equipment reports no conversation. Now, we did track intense radio activity at launch and just before the rocket changed course, however.
Well, if this is meant to be a surprise attack, they would observe complete radio silence. Once the men got their orders, there wouldn't be any need for communications.
Well, we thought of that, sir. And we fed the radio data into a computer, but it showed no speech pattern. It's definitely not a manned spaceship. That change of course was accomplished by radio command.
What's the present speed of the rocket?
Well, that's another strange thing, sir. As soon as it left the orbit, the speed decreased to slightly less than 8,000 miles an hour. Then it increased again to over 8,000. Now, right now, it's close to 12,000 miles an hour.
Doesn't leave us much time, does it?
No, sir. If our calculations are correct, we'll be hit in just about 32 minutes from now.
Well, I guess no errors here. This particular bird is headed toward us. They've finally done it. But why? Why in the blazes now? And with no provocation. Why would they want to do a thing like that? Base operations, Colonel Brooks.
Good morning, sir. This is Sergeant Davis. Mrs. Brooks is right outside to see the Colonel. May I send
her? Yeah, I'll be right out. Kathy, how often have I told you...
Stop it. Do you hear? Just stop it. I know. You told me never to disturb you here.
And why did you?
Because something is terribly wrong, and I know it. And you know it. And because I want to know what's wrong.
Okay. You're right. Something is terribly wrong. Where's the boy?
Outside in the car, sleeping.
Oh, good. Now, Kathy, as soon as I'm through talking, I want you to get into the car. Is the tank full?
Almost.
Oh, fine. Now get into the car and drive. And as soon as you hit the highway, push the gas pedal all the way down to the floor and don't take it off until you run out of gas.
It sounds frightening.
It was meant to be. Kathy, in less than half an hour, we're going to be hit by a rocket which we believe carries a nuclear warhead. Now, first we thought it might be a routine satellite launch or some deep space probe, but now we know better. The rocket is heading straight toward us. It'll hit within a couple of miles from here, and from what we know about the gentleman who launched it, we can assume that what it carries in its head is not a message of friendship.
What we know about the gentleman who launched that rocket. What do we know about them?
What are you talking about?
It's a simple question. What do we know about them? All we know is they can launch rockets, possibly reach another planet. But what do we know about them? Do we know how they think and feel?
Oh, Kathy, what are you asking me for? You know we don't have answers to any of those questions. We've been trying to communicate with them for years. They've tried to communicate with us for almost as many years, but we haven't been successful, and you know it.
Which they're bridging with a rocket carrying a nuclear head. Because we haven't been able to find some other bridge.
Kathy, darling, listen to me. You're losing precious time. Now get into the car and go. In half an hour, you should be far enough away to save yourself and the boy.
But can't you do something about it? Don't you have something to stop it?
No, no. All we can do is track it down and wait.
But surely there must be something.
Kathy, listen to me. Every minute counts. Get going.
And you, Jim, what will you do?
Pray, maybe. Just pray.
Mr. President, this is Colonel James Brooks, Commanding Officer, Air Defense Unit 205B.
Good morning, Colonel. What can I do for you?
Mr. President, it's my duty to inform you that we're under attack.
How much time do we have?
Approximately 21 minutes, sir.
What are the details?
A rocket, which we have every reason to believe carries a nuclear head, is presently heading toward us. We calculated its speed at roughly 12,000 miles an hour. Which means that unless we've made an error, it'll hit in a little less than 21 minutes.
Hit where, Colonel?
The point of impact will probably be within a radius of 5 to 10 miles from our base, sir.
From your base? Where exactly are you located, Colonel?
91 miles north of Sedgwick and 76 miles west of the ocean, sir.
Well, that's strange.
Sir?
I said that's strange. Why would they want to hit an uninhabited area? How many men do you have there, Colonel?
4 officers, including myself, 18 enlisted men, and 12 dependents, sir.
Any special or unusual equipment?
No, sir. We're a radar observation unit of the type B, Mr. President. No defenses whatsoever.
Well, don't you agree with me it is strange? Why would they waste a nuclear bomb to destroy a radar observation unit and just a handful of people?
An error in calculations, perhaps?
I doubt it. You're several thousand miles from here. What I mean is, the logical thing to do is to start a surprise attack by hitting the nerve center of a nation, not a remote radar observation point. If they did make an error in calculation, it would place the point of impact within a few hundred miles from here, not a few thousand. Anyway, what are you doing about it at your end?
I am waiting for your orders, sir.
You have your orders, Colonel. You have my permission to put Plan B into action.
Plan B? B, sir?
Plan B, Colonel.
No retaliation, Mr. President?
No, Colonel. No retaliation. I'm praying that the rocket will hit far enough to spare all of you. But I am also praying that it's heading toward us as a result of an error. If we retaliate, it won't be an error.
But, Mr. President, may I point out to
you... Under my orders, Colonel... Let us both pray that the rocket's direction is the result of an error. That there will be no need for retaliation.
Yes, sir.
And, Colonel, I want you to keep me informed.
Yes, sir, I'll do that. For the next 18 minutes, anyway. Holden.
Yes, sir.
Put Plan B into effect.
Yes, sir. Plan B, sir?
That's right, Lieutenant. Second lieutenants are expendable, and it seems so are bird colonels.
Yes, sir. Oh, Colonel Brooks.
Yes?
Mrs. Brooks is waiting at the door, sir. She's been here for a while. She came while the colonel was talking to the president. Shall we let her in, sir?
Where's your wife, Holden?
I suppose on her way to the shelter by now. Everybody's been alerted, sir.
That's good. How many minutes?
10, sir. 9 minutes and 40 seconds, actually. About Mrs. Brooks, sir.
I'll go out and see her. Let me know at T-5, Holden.
Hello, Jim.
Kathy. Why?
It'll sound terribly corny, I know, but I just couldn't go. Not that I didn't try, mind you. I drove as far as the bridge, but then I saw the base lights in the rearview mirror, and somehow I knew I had to come back.
You never really listened to me, did you?
Oh, Jim, does that really matter now? Jim, are we going to die?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. But more than likely, we are.
You want to know something? All my life, I was terrified at the mere thought of death, but right now, I'm not scared in the least.
Well, I am. Oh, don't misunderstand me. Not for myself, but for you and the boy. For all these kids.
I love you, Colonel Brooks. I love you because I believe you're the most wonderful person alive.
Colonel, T-5, sir.
Oh, thank you, Holden. I'll be right in. Kathy, go back to the boy. Where is he, anyway?
In the shelter, with Mrs. Watson and her boys.
You go ahead and join them. And, Kathy, just one more thing. I love you, too.
T-4, bogey in visual sight now. Speed steady at 11,850 miles an hour. T-3, bogey continuing on a collision course. Speed unchanged. T-2, bogey still on collision course. Speed steady at 11,850. Impact point 2 3/10 miles. T-1. Bogey still on collision course. Speed steady. Correct impact point to 1 8/10 of a mile. T-30 seconds. Impact point 1 8/10 of a mile. T-10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's a dud.
Hold it. No one move until I say so. It may have a delayed action fuse. Mr. President, this is Colonel Brooks.
You're alive. Any casualties?
No, sir. It seems to be a dud. Either that or it's equipped with a delayed action fuse.
Delayed action? Sounds unlikely. Just a moment, Colonel. The Secretary of Defense is with me. Maybe he can throw some light on the subject. Colonel, the Secretary tells me there's no information that any of their nuclear heads are equipped with delayed action fuses.
Then it's a dud, sir. It hit less than 2 miles from the base. I'm heading right for the point of impact, and I'll report to you as soon as I'm back.
Can you see it, Colonel?
Right. Let's go.
Colonel, this is not a bomb.
What? Well, how in the devil can you tell? It's all in pieces.
Colonel, look.
Huh?
This is a lens. A movie or a TV camera lens.
Hey, you're right. This is a lens. This must be an exploratory probe from Earth to photograph our planet. Yeah. Made in USA. What is USA?
I don't know, sir. It was probably one of the labs on Earth. Probably the lab that manufactured the lens.
Well, I'm sure we'll know soon enough. If they succeeded in sending a camera all the way to Mars, I'm convinced we'll have a visitor from Earth pretty soon. Let's head back now. I must tell the president.
Mr. President, this is Colonel Brooks again.
Yes, Colonel.
Sir, it wasn't a dud, and it wasn't a bomb. What it actually was is a camera, a movie or TV camera.
A camera?
Yes, sir. No doubt an exploratory probe from Earth to photograph Mars. Probably to find out whether there's life on our planet.
Colonel Brooks, sir.
Can't it wait, ma'am?
No, sir, I'm afraid it can't.
Mr. President, just a moment,
Colonel,
Mr. President.
I would suggest you keep the line open. You may want to read this to the President right away.
Mr. President. And Mr. President, here's a communication from Radar Central. An object originating from Earth is heading toward our planet. It's several times larger than the object which just landed.
Just a moment, Brooks. The entire council is assembled here and listening to your report. I want to make sure they understand. It is several times larger than the object which just landed. Go ahead.
A recording of radio communications between the unidentified craft and Earth, fed into a computer, indicates a definite speech pattern. Speed, 8,350 miles per hour. Probable point of impact, longitude 10634. Latitude,
gentlemen,
3, 4, 7,
we have
6.
Only a few moments to decide
density of object,
whether or not this is an attack or whether or not we wish
impact,
to retaliate.
9, 3, 7,
whether to implement Plan A or Plan B.
Point of impact,
whether or not to destroy
10,
the planet
4,
Earth.
2.
Presented Point of Impact, written by Michael A. Hanu, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Joan Lovejoy, Robert Dryden, Ralph Camargo, Stan Watt, and Larry Robinson. Audio engineers Marty Folia and Neil Pulse. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.
Well, folks, that was Theater 5, and Point of Impact is aired on March the 24th, 1965. And now it's time for another exciting show from Dimension X, and The Lost Race is aired on May the 20th, 1950.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense.
Dimension X.
When man first crossed the vast distances of outer space to land on strange worlds, he found that someone had been there before him. The ruined canals of Mars, the smashed cities of Titan and Centaurus 2 and 3, all these were evidence that 100,000 years ago, a race of intelligent beings built their cities across the galaxy. They knew space travel, atomic power, astrophysics, and engineering. And then they destroyed themselves completely, so that of all the cities on 1,000 worlds, Only dust and rubble remained. Why? Why did these beings obliterate all record of themselves? That is the mystery of the lost race. The freighter Carilla, bound out of Earth for Cetus Alpha 2, came into normal flight after 103 days in overdrive. The stars were unfamiliar. The constellations known on Earth had disappeared. But there was a yellow sun off to port, and about it revolved three planets.
What do you make of it, Briggs?
It isn't on any of the star charts, Captain Wharton. I checked through.
One and three are dead, all right. Have to take a closer look at number two. Turn up the vision scale. Polar ice caps. She's green around the belt. Let's take her down to a 5-mile orbit. Swing around her for a look. Alert for deceleration.
Aye, sir.
Throw in the manuals. Power room.
Power room, aye.
We're going down to have a look at something. Give us just enough power to keep her under control. All right, Briggs. Hang on to your stomach.
You sent for me, Captain Wharton?
Come in, Mr. Howell.
Do you mind if I sit down?
Free fall sickness?
Well, I'm afraid I'm not an old space hand. Oof.
We'll level out in a minute.
Do you want something?
Yes. We come out of overdrive, smack in the middle of a new planetary system. Briggs says it's unreported.
Well, that's rather good news, isn't it?
Depends. Chris reports pretty common. But we'll stake a claim on her, in case there are any mineral discoveries.
Well, I meant the possibility of archaeological finds.
I'm afraid I'll leave that to you, Mr. Howell. You're the expert.
Coming up five, Captain.
Level off. Hang on, Howell. Power room. Hold her steady, she goes. We'll orbit at slow cruising speed. All right. Clear the scope, Briggs.
Aye, sir.
Nice-looking piece of real estate. Well, the space guard requires I check up for radioactives, gold, and lost race rooms.
You're landing?
Landing. I've got a schedule to keep, Mr. Howell. I can't sit down on every lump of dirt I run into. We'll do a spectroscope check, and I figured you'd spot any ruins.
All right. Wait a minute.
Hmm?
There in the lower quadrant.
What?
That bald spot in the vegetation. Those are ruins, all right.
Are you sure, Howell?
Yes. I've seen the lost race rubble on Centaurus II. There. You can see it plainly, dust and rubble.
Oh, that's what I get for calling in an expert. Briggs, stand by to take it down to 5,000 feet.
Aye, sir.
All this stinking luck. There goes my schedule. Seen enough, Howell? It's going to set me back 5 hours.
Interesting. Wait a minute.
What's wrong?
I don't believe it. Marvelous. Incredible.
Stop sputtering, Hal. What is it?
Look over that rise in the ground. It's a section of the city still standing.
Hey, you're right.
That hill must have shielded it from the blast. Captain, you've got to land.
Land?
You've got to. This is the first lost race site that's ever been spotted. Of course you'll land.
Howell. We get $1,000 bonus for every day under par for the run.
But you don't understand. It's the biggest find in the century.
We can chart it, and you'll have to get back somehow.
But
that's all. I'm not sitting down to rake over old dust heaps.
Captain Wharton, I'm on commission to the Space Guard. You may have to answer to them.
I'll think up one. Look, Howell, strictly speaking, you're a passenger.
Well, you've got
you
to land.
You don't belong on the bridge. I'm not landing down there, and that's it.
Briggs!
Emergency from the power room. Something must have blown.
Power room. Power room. Danton, what's wrong down there? Danton.
He doesn't answer.
Anything serious, Captain?
He reaches the fuel locker. That 5 pounds of ascending will go and kick us right out of space. Danton! Danton!
Power room, aye.
What happened? What blew?
Main tube coupling. She's secured.
What's
now.
The damage?
The main tube's burnt out. The bearing, the coupling, the injector valve, and the needle gauge.
Can you make repairs?
Not in flight.
Can you raise enough power to land?
I don't know, Captain. The wiring's shot. Bad like a tomcat. I might be able to get something from the deceleration auxiliaries.
Get a jury rig on her. We'll try to set her down.
Aye, sir.
Briggs.
Yes, sir.
Alert for crash landing. Signal room. Signal room.
Signal, aye.
Langston, get off a position fix and SOS standby.
Aye, sir.
Well, Mr. Howell, I guess you're going to join your friends in the lost race. I just hope it's not permanently.
leveled off now, Captain.
Trim her up a point. That's it.
She's bucking bad.
5 more minutes and the hull plates will shake loose. Power room. Stand by for bow blast on signal.
All ready.
I'm going to try for that clearing.
Too narrow.
2 to 1 for a dollar. All right. Hang on.
Briggs! Briggs! You all right?
I hit on the panel.
Well, I seem to be ill. All assembled.
Well, we're down. Guess our luck hasn't run out yet. Calling power room.
Power room, aye.
All right down there?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Danton, I want a complete damage check and repair estimate. Get up here as soon as you got it for me. Briggs, you all right now?
Yes, sir, I guess so.
As soon as we get Danton's report, get a detail aft. Help him with repairs.
Captain Wharton.
What is it, Langston?
My speaker line's out. Sending circuits blew.
Spare tubes?
That was a pretty rough landing, Captain. They're gone. I can't replace them this side of Lunar Space Station.
I see. Well, the SOS ought to do it. And the Space Guard monitor reports our position.
They aren't going to, Captain.
Why not?
Sending circuits went out when the blast went off down there. I didn't get the SOS out.
Thank you, Langston. Get back and see what you can salvage.
Does that mean bad news?
We were in overdrive, Mr. Howell. It would take 40 years to search the distance we've traveled in one day. Consequently, when a ship doesn't make port and doesn't transmit a position fix, they forget about it.
Oh. I see.
And with the radio out, we blast off on our own power. Or we don't get off.
I got your damage report, Captain.
Well?
Here. It's on a B-23 checklist.
Not bad?
Worse.
Danton, how long will it take you for repairs?
I don't know.
An estimate.
I ain't no gypsy fortune teller.
How about the lifeboat?
For deep space? What are they teaching at Sands Point? Basket weaving?
Danton,
lifeboat couldn't lift half a light year off this here mud heap.
Danton, I'll take just so much. Look, can it be converted to Bessendium Drive?
The converter links were mashed when we came down.
How long is it going to take you to repair the main drive?
Look, Captain, I got 2 hands. You want me to hold a lug wrench in my teeth?
See here, Danton.
You stay here, Captain. The whole lousy crew's been spitting all over me ever since we blasted off. Now you can all wait on me.
Who do you think you are, Danton?
The only power man on this ship, that's who. If you ain't satisfied with the way I'm working, go hire yourself another boy. The woods are lousy with him. I'll take my own sweet time.
What's the matter with him? Got a bug in his ear?
Space fatigue, Captain. He's been locked up in the power room 4 days.
Oh, we don't have enough trouble. Briggs, remind me to slug the psychotechnician when we get back. Don't tell me nobody gets into deep space who isn't emotionally stable.
What are you going to do about him, Captain?
Nothing. Stay off his back.
Oh, but you can't.
Captain's the only man who can get us out of here. We want to hit the cradle at New York Spaceport again. We've got to keep him happy.
Captain Wharton, as long as we're landed and we do have to wait for the engines to be fixed, I suppose we can explore the lost race ruins. I'm particularly...
Look, Mr. Howell, I can't spare the men. We are now stuck tight until Danton gets those engines fixed. And if he can't, which is entirely possible, we are stuck, period.
Oh. Oh.
Briggs, I want you to keep a careful eye on the men. Space fatigue is nothing compared to what we might run up against now.
Captain Wharton. Captain, I've got it.
Is there any circuits?
No, sir, but I picked up the incoming video band.
Well, that's something. Can you get the mail call through? The men could use a little lift right now.
Well, the scheduled one-way personals are due at 2330 Greenwich.
Good. That ought to help morale. Langston, rig the receiving booth.
Aye, sir.
Howell, this is a break. Seeing the folks at home may be enough to keep everybody on an even keel. I know I'll be glad to see that kid of mine.
Mr. Langston, get Hanson out of the booth. You wear the glass right off the tube.
Ah, take it easy, Williams. Everybody gets 3 minutes.
Hey, Kelly, I bet that dame of yours burned up the circuits, huh?
How'd you know it was his girl? You can't tell through the booth.
Well, who else would call that ape? What'd you say, Kelly?
Oh, nothing. She don't have to.
She just stands in front of the pickup tube and, oh, brother.
I can just see that.
Hey, it's a boy.
A boy.
Alice had a boy. Where? They're going to show him to me in the circuit tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Who's next, Mr. Langston?
The last call's coming through now on ticker. It's for Williams.
Well, wait a minute, Williams.
Well, let go of my arm.
What happened to my call?
No call today, Dan.
You're a liar, Langston.
Hey.
My girl calls in every scheduled circuit. That must be mine.
Now let go, Dad. Maybe Janie was busy waiting tables in the lunchroom.
What do you know about her, Hanson?
You kidding? She's a swell kid. Everybody at New York Spaceport knows her.
Yeah, I've seen you hanging around Jank, too.
Now, wait a minute, Danton.
Take it easy, Danton.
You and Williams made this up between you, didn't you? You're going to take my call, huh, Williams?
You're space happy.
You used to hang around with her before I cut you out.
Now, listen, Danton, you were lucky enough to get her. Let well enough alone.
You bet I got her, all right, and you're not going to steal her back. Williams, I'm going to...
Are you crazy? Danton! Get him off!
You lying.
Get him off!
Hey, what's going on in here?
Let him fight!
I'm going to kill you, you...
Double crush him. Grab him, Hanson. Get his arm. Nobody took your call. Calm down, Danton.
Look out.
He's got a wrench.
Danton. He's nuts.
Nobody gets a call. Nobody. How do you like that, Williams? You ain't going to hear from Janie no more. How do you like that?
After him. Kelly. Hanson. The airlock. He's left the ship.
Let him go, the jealous screwball.
Sure. But that's the only man who can get us off of here.
I warned you, so help me, Briggs. I warned you to keep an eye on Danton.
Well, I didn't think he'd go off this way.
Well, it's that girl of his, sir. He's crazy jealous about her.
Any reason for it, Williams?
No, sir. She's a good kid. Too good for Danton. I guess he's just so afraid of losing her to some other guy... He's getting psychopathic about it.
Well, we've got to get him back. I want every man equipped and ready for search parties immediately.
Aye, sir.
Williams, rig some portable searchlights and issue hand blasters and radiation tickers. Kelly.
Aye, sir.
You head the second party. If you find Danton, send up a signal flare.
Aye, sir.
Unless we do find him, we'll be on this planet until the next freighter stumbles on us. Maybe 10,000 years from now. That light up, Hanson.
This is amazing, Captain. Lost Ray's building's actually standing.
Hey!
What is it?
Oh, it's nothing. It's shadow.
This place gives me the willies. To be able to find out so much about them, their science, art, what they looked like, perhaps even why they destroyed themselves.
I'm beginning to wonder about that, Howell. You sure they destroyed themselves? Maybe they lost a war to another race.
Winners would have left traces. Genghis Khan, the Mongol emperor, left a pile of skulls as a monument after he destroyed his enemies. But there's been nothing like that found.
No clues at all,
Nothing.
Eh?
When they decided to wipe themselves out, they did a thorough job. But why? That's what we've been asking for 50 years. They wanted to end like that.
Captain, there's a rise ahead.
Keep going. Anything on your side, Briggs?
No, sir.
Hanson, what is it?
I don't know, sir. It's a funny kind of a glow. I guess I shot without thinking.
Don't get trigger happy. Howell.
Yes, sir?
Where do you think the light is coming from?
Down there. It's an amphitheater. Stone seats and a hood.
It looks like a band shell.
What's up, Captain?
Wait a minute. Well, Howell?
I don't know. That's the Lost Race sign on the hood.
A what?
A sort of hieroglyphic. Only thing we'd ever found before. One in each ruin.
What does it mean?
Some kind of a warning, I think.
Come on. We're going down there. Careful now. There's a platform of some kind down there.
Looks like a lecture platform, doesn't it? Or an altar. This might have been a temple. Perhaps the Lost Race sign had a religious significance.
Looks like a throne to me.
A throne 5 feet high.
Briggs, climb up there. And see if there are any controls for this machinery.
Aye, sir.
This wasn't meant for any man to sit on. There's a lever up here. Shall I try it?
Sure, go ahead.
Hey, what the... What's that mist? It's like a steam bath. I wonder if Kelly and Williams ran into anything
Kelly,
like...
Hold that light up.
Shut up and keep looking for Danton.
What? Look there, in the hood.
It's Williams and Kelly.
That crazy jet jockey. When I find him, I'm going to beat his brains out.
You could see him. A three-dimensional image.
Some kind of television. Get down, Briggs.
Aye, sir. Did you see it, Skipper? I was just thinking about him, and there he was.
We all saw it. Out of the way. I'm going to try it. This thing can pick up Earth. It'll replace the receiver Danton smashed. Just throw the lever, eh?
What? That's my son. I'll be darned. His music lesson. Say, it reaches Earth, all right. What? Imagine. Television without a transmitter.
Looks like the lost race was ahead of us in more ways than one.
Go up and try it, Howell.
It's amazing, amazing. Television without a transmitter. This machine may be the clue to the mystery of the lost race. I'll try it.
Mary, I've told you I like my paper first in the morning. What? If that youngster wants to know how the Tigers did, let him wait until I am...
My father in Detroit. Remarkable, Captain. You can see the whole room clearly.
Say, how about me, Captain? Let me get up there. I'd like to see my baby. Alice told me all about it. Ow!
What's the matter, Hanson?
I kicked something, a wrench.
Well, hold it up. What? It's Danton's. That means he's been here. We're on his trail, all right. Come on, Howell, let's go.
But the baby, it wouldn't take a minute, Captain.
Later, Hanson. We've got to find Danton first. All right, now, let's get moving. Hold it.
What's that?
The recall flare. Kelly and his men have found Danton. Oh, I hope that crazy fool is in one piece.
We start back now, Captain.
Yes.
That came from the ship.
Another flare?
No, that was an explosion. That's all we need now. Something more to happen to the ship. Oh, it's the main jets.
Smashed flat.
Of all the stinking rot. Check through the ship for further damage.
Aye, sir.
Oh, look at those plates. Crumpled like an accordion.
Captain! Oh, Captain!
Here comes Kelly's party.
We got him. Got Danton. Hold it. What happened here?
Somebody blew up the main jets. Danton, do you know anything about this?
No, sir.
Not much, he doesn't. He's crazy enough to blow us all up.
Listen, Hanson, I admit I went off my head tonight, but I'm not crazy enough to commit suicide. The jets are smashed. We're all marooned up the same creek.
I still think he's got something to do with it.
Lay off, Hanson. We found him wandering up in the hills. And he was with us when the blast went off.
Yes, that's right. We saw your recall flare before the explosions. Oh, I guess that puts Stanton on the clear.
Well, then who did it, Captain?
I don't know, Howell. Looks like somebody didn't want us to leave this planet. Well, we still got one slim chance left. If we can repair the lifeboat...
Skipper, it's gone.
Gone?
The escape port is open. The boat's missing.
Oh, what else?
The arms chest was cleaned out, sir, and the fuel locker was jimmied open. The descendium bars are gone.
You sure?
You can look for yourself, sir. She's clean.
I see. There's only one answer left. There's something or somebody out in those ruins trying to get us. Maybe that lost race decided they weren't going to stay lost.
You think some of them may still be alive?
Who else could have blown up our ship? Your blaster up, Howell. And be careful. It's a hair trigger.
What are we doing back at the television machine, Captain? I thought we were looking for the lifeboat.
We are. Whoever blew up the ship must be around here. Might as well try to use the machine to track them down.
Yeah. Catch them with their own gadget, huh?
That's right. All right, Howell, you're the expert. Get up there and try to find them.
I hope it works.
Well?
Trying, Captain.
Nothing but mist.
I don't understand it. It reached all the way to Earth before I saw my father in Detroit.
Mary, my paper's all rumpled again.
What?
There it is again. My father in Detroit.
I've told him time and time again I don't like a messy paper.
Look at that. No selector control, yet all the way to Earth. You can see the whole room, the goldfish bowl, the antimacassars on the chairs. Yet we can't pick up something less than a mile away.
Knock it off, Al. We're wasting time. Come on. That gadget won't work. We'll have to comb these rooms inch by inch.
I don't understand.
Neither do I. We'll cut behind the hood here and go on. Briggs, you take the lead with the radiation ticker. We might be able to pick up a reading on where the rocket fuel is hidden.
Aye, sir.
All right, let's go.
can't understand why that machine can pick up earth and not...
Captain, help, Captain!
Briggs, what is it?
Captain, help, I'm falling!
It's a cave-in. Hang on, Briggs!
I'm slipping, Captain!
Grab his wrist.
All right.
Now, pull! Pull!
Higher! Higher!
What happened?
I was just walking along and the ground caved in.
What? It's some kind of shaft. Hold your light over it, Captain. Oh!
50 feet deep in a stone bottom. I could have split my head open like a grapefruit.
Something down there. Hold that light steady.
Amazing. Amazing.
Looks like a pile of bones to me. Two piles.
It may be the first skeletal remains ever found of the Lost Grace. I've got to get down in there.
We haven't got time, Howell. Come on.
Let me have your binoculars. Wonderful. That small skeleton must be an infant. They've been laid out carefully. It's a burial chamber. The way they're lying, it's probably a mother and infant. Yeah. The tail, she's definitely anthropoid.
Howell, you mean apes?
Something like that. Yet they had atomic power and built cities across the galaxy. Amazing.
Howell, we haven't got time.
Hello, that's funny. The little one is different. The caudal bones are different. No tail.
Listen, Howell. What do I care whether they had tails or not? Come on now.
It's almost as if... Well, they did have atomics, and radiation does funny things to heredity. They had that problem of mutations in Detroit. Detroit! That must be it.
What?
The new atomics plant at Detroit. They tore down my father's house to make room for it. Quickly, Captain.
Oh, where are you going?
Back to the machine. I've got a theory that may solve the whole mystery of what happened to the Lost Race.
I don't care what happened to the dead ones, Howell. I want to find the living ones who wrecked my ship.
I think this machine may give us both answers. There's the house, Detroit, down to the last detail.
Oh, come on down. We know all
but
that.
But don't you understand? That house was torn down. I got a letter before we lifted off Earth. It's gone.
But it's on the television machine.
Captain, that machine isn't television. It's a thought projector.
What?
It only mirrors what's in your own mind.
But, Mr. Howell, we saw Earth. It was really there.
But it was just because we imagined it, Briggs. It's a thought projection. I can produce any mental image that occurs to me on this machine. New York, spaceport, a space guard patrol, anything.
Anything?
Yes. And now I think I know what inspired the Lost Race to do what they did. It was fear. Fear of what was in their own minds. They could all see it with machines like this.
But fear? Fear of what?
They foresaw the future. So they destroyed themselves. Every last one of them.
Hold it, Howell. Are you sure they're all dead?
100,000 years ago.
Then who blew up the ship and stole our lifeboat?
Danton.
Danton? But why?
He was pathologically jealous.
Yes, but blowing up the ship was like committing suicide. He wasn't crazy enough to do that.
The Lost Race was after they looked at this machine.
You mean Danton did too?
We found his wrench here.
You're right.
He must have looked at the machine and thought it was television. He must have seen all his fears about losing his girl confirmed. That was enough to make him completely unbalanced.
But he was with Kelly when that explosion went off. He's got an ironclad alibi.
No, he hasn't. Wouldn't take a power man long to sneak back to the ship and rig a delayed action fuse. Howell, we've got to get back to the ship before Danton.
Never mind, Captain. Stay right there.
That's Danton.
In the dark. You make a perfect target there. Stop your gun. I got a blaster set at wide angle.
Drop him. He's got his cold.
I've been following you, Wharton. I wanted to tell you, I'm going back to Earth. I got the lifeboat hidden over that rise.
It won't work in deep space.
You believed me when I told you that, didn't you? Well, I've got it fixed. And with that bacillium fuel, it'll be a milk run. I'll reach the Space Guard station at Volta with a long, sad story about how the rest of you exploded in mid-space.
Danton, that's murder.
Yeah, that's just what it is. And easy, too.
Danton, you can't just leave us here.
Watch me. Sit in front of that machine and watch me. Yeah, I know what it is. I know it's a television without a transmitter. And I did some checking up. I've seen how you were stealing my call. Trying to steal my girl.
Danton, you're sick. You
pretty
can't...
Pretty smart, that Lost Race. They built some machine. And it showed me plenty. It showed me enough to kill you.
Oh, you've got it all wrong. This isn't a television machine.
What are you trying to pull, Wharton? I saw it.
Those were your own thoughts, Danton. Those things you saw exist only in your mind.
Shut up before I blast all of you down. You're just trying to lie out of it, that's all. But I know the truth when I see it. And you're going to die.
All right, Danton, but you're not going to get away with it. Look at the machine.
What's that?
The machine. It's the Space Guard patrol, Danton. Look, they're coming.
X-3 to command. Spotted the Corellias, reported. Preparing to land.
That's the Space Guard, Danton.
Yeah, whole patrol.
You're lying. They couldn't come. There wasn't any SOS.
X-3 to command. Preparing to land. There's the clearing.
That's enough, Howell. All right, Danton. They'll be coming over the horizon. Drop your gun and give yourself up.
No. They're not going to catch me. I'll be away in that lifeboat before they land. Stay still, all of you. Stay where you are.
Danton.
I still got you covered.
Danton, look out behind you.
Burial shaft. He fell in it. Hold the light down, Briggs. Well?
He's dead. Deader than the Lost Race. And what about those Space Guard cruisers?
Out of my head. I just imagined them, and there they were on the machine. Poor Danton believed they were real.
I wish they were real so we could get off this planet.
No, it doesn't matter. We know where the lifeboat is now. We can send one man to bring back help. And it won't be Danton.
The machine got him the same way it got the Lost Race. Through fear.
But what was the Lost Race afraid of, Howell?
Changing.
Changing?
Look at those skeletons down there. They had atomic energy, but they couldn't control it. Look. The baby's different from the other. The race was changing by mutation.
Mutation?
Look at those skeletons. Now imagine a shifted hip socket so they could walk upright. The baby was already without a tail.
But Howell, that would mean they were changing into...
Yes, Captain. The Lost Race committed suicide rather than face the fear of seeing their descendants become such horrible creatures as men.
You have just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future, the world of Dimension X.
And now, about next week, William Travis and his wife thought they had escaped, but they were wrong. They were being searched out by men from another world, men who wanted them to return. Where? I'll tell you. Next week.
Tonight's drama was based on the Murray Leinster story, The Lost, and was adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Matt Crowley as Captain Wharton, Roger DeCoven as Howell, and Joseph Julian as Danton. Your host was Norman Rose. Tomorrow, it's Sam Spade. Now hear Truth or Consequences on NBC.
Well, folks, that was Dimension X, and The Lost Race has aired on May the 20th, 1950. And now let's do our last program, The Castaways. It's aired on August the 11th, 1950.
It's National Wheaties Week. Yes, it's National Wheaties Week, and Wheaties present Dimension X.
On stage tonight, Dimension X, another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations.
It's National Wheaties Week. Yep, time to try Wheaties. If you haven't had any for a while, try them now. If you've been eating them right along, have an extra bowl full for me. How about that? You know, I've been talking about Wheaties all summer, saying, see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Well, by golly, they can. I get up to Wheaties, bananas on mine, thanks, and I honestly feel as if I had more pep all morning. And why not you? This is National Wheaties Week. Time for you to have some Wheaties. Breakfast of champions. Oh, go ahead, have some. It's National Wheaties Week. Thank you.
Tonight's adventure into the world of the unknown. The world of Dimension X. In the South Pacific, night comes on rapidly. The sun dips below the flat horizon. The sea is crimson for a moment, and then night falls. But on Tahani Atoll, giant arc lights turn night into day. Across the waters of the lagoon within the barrier reef, launches and tugs skitter back and forth, while on the curving half-moon of the island, army trucks and jeeps scuttle down the rough roads bulldozed by the sea bees just 6 weeks ago. A low Quonset hut stands near the beach, surrounded by tangled wire. This is the preliminary command post, and inside is General Frank Gaydosh, field director of the test. Operation Destruction.
Well, everything on schedule, General Gaydosh. Radiological survey is complete. Instruments placement checked.
Get me Navy and tell them HR is as ordered. Send a periodic time check to Air Force and EWINTOC and observation control on the Missouri.
Yes, sir.
I want a complete roster check on all personnel before HR. That test bomb is going off at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Even if there's a whole battalion stranded on the target vessels. You see that everybody's clear.
Yes, sir. Oh, Nate Cohen wants to see you.
Who the devil is he?
AP man. He's been selected by the press radio pool to interview you.
I haven't got time. Tell him to speak to Major Breedenberg. He's the PRO.
Well, I think perhaps you'd better see him, sir. The directive on public relations from Washington was very clear.
Now, what blazes am I supposed to run a bomb test and play mother hen to a bunch of reporters?
Washington, sir?
All right. Bring him in. Relly.
Yes, sir?
Get me some black coffee.
Yes, sir.
This is Mr. Cohen, General Gaydosh.
How do you do, General?
Lousy, as a matter of fact.
Is that an official statement?
No. Run some of that world is at the crossroads baloney.
I wrote that yesterday. General, what effect do you think the new bomb will have in the world situation?
I can't tell you that, even if I knew. My job is to set the blaster thing off, see that nobody gets hurt, and collect the data.
Can I speak with you for a moment, sir?
Later, Alan. Go ahead, Cohen.
Can you release anything on the scientific principles involved?
I don't even understand them myself. Wait a minute. Dr. Muller.
Yes?
Come over here a moment, will you? Cohen, this is Dr. Fred Muller.
How do you do?
Civilian scientific director. He's the only one who knows what's inside that warhead.
How do you do, Mr. Cohen?
How about a statement, Doctor?
Well, I'm afraid all I'm allowed to say is that the bomb is new. It's extremely powerful and off the record. It's very tricky and dangerous.
What'll happen if it goes off prematurely?
I don't think we have to worry about that. In fact, we wouldn't even know about it, if you'll excuse me now.
How about the natives?
What about them?
They're going to be evacuated from the island?
They already have been.
General Gaydosh.
I saw the Tahani chief outside when I came in. The whole tribe's out there squatting down at the motor pool having a conference.
What? Alan.
I've been trying to tell you, sir, the Tahani are still on the island.
What? The LCTs are ready, aren't they?
Yes, sir, but they won't go. They refuse.
The scheduled call for their evacuation to Milani 3 hours ago.
I realize that, sir, but I hoped we could still get them off without violence.
Look, Alan, they're either on the island or off. Wait a minute. Cohen, that's all.
What are you going to do about the natives, General?
I'll issue a statement later.
You going to force them?
Go on, out. I haven't got time.
All right, General. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
All right, Alan, let's have it.
Well, sir, the Tahani have been kicking up a fuss all along. They won't leave.
They won't? Do they know what's going to happen to the island? Do they know we're going to blow it higher than a kite?
I told the chief, and he just said they won't go.
They'll go, all right, if I have to. Get him in here.
Chief?
And the lieutenant who interprets.
Yes, sir.
How do you like that, Dr. Muller? I haven't got enough trouble.
I feel rather sorry for the Tahani. It can't make much sense to them. We arrive and tell them they've got to get out.
I appreciate your finer feelings, Muller. But I can't let 100 half-naked Kanakas hold up the bomb test.
But they're not Kanakas, General. Captain Cook discovered the island in 1788.
What's the difference?
Lieutenant Gilbert reporting, sir.
Noah.
I haven't got time for ceremony, Gilbert. Tell the chief he and his tribe have to get off the island. We're providing homes for the Mamalani.
Maruru te upa, tau tiari, iti mailani. Maruru awai.
Translate, Gilbert.
The chief says,
Yai,
you do not understand.
Ape.
Mailani is a bad island. My people have lived on Tahani from the time that our ancestors were cast away on the island. The spirits of our ancestors are buried in the earth. Our fathers are buried here. Our father's fathers...
If he thinks I'm going to move his graveyard, he's crazy.
In our ancestors' time, the Tahani came in a great bird canoe. We were cast away on this island. We have made it our home. What right have you now to carry us over the sea to a strange land where we would die weeping for our homes? We will not go.
By the water of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Mahler. You're a great help. Gilbert.
Yes, sir?
Tell him I have no choice. He's got till midnight to get his tribe on board those LCTs peacefully, or I'll have the Marine detachment carry them on board.
Te mauma te
watu. Isn't that rather harsh, General? After all, justice is on their side. Well, we're preparing to blow up their island, and we haven't asked them about it.
Dr. Muller, you will kindly confine yourself to the scientific aspects of this operation. I'll take care of administrative matters.
Well, if you could explain to them what is at stake
here. Any further explaining I've got to do, I'll do with the Marine detachment. I'm not going to hold up my schedule to coddle 100 barefoot natives. Well, Gilbert?
I told him.
All right, get him out of here. I've heard enough.
What the devil is that?
Some kind of a curse, sir. I can catch some of it. The island will remember the tears of its children and punish the invaders. The great destroyer will not destroy, and the evil man who is the chief will travel far through the blackness of night, even as the children of the island end, so will he.
All right, Gilbert, take him away.
Yes, sir.
Colonel Allen, get a detail from the Marine detachment with tear gas and small arms down to the motor pool. 1 hour, have those natives on that transport, and I don't care how they do it. Is that my coffee, Varelli?
Yes, sir.
They must know about the bomb. The great destroyer will not destroy.
You worried about that curse?
Well, I should think you might be. He threatened you personally. If I were you, I'd carry a pistol till they got off the island. The chief looked as if he'd cheerfully strangle you with his bare hands.
I'm supposed to end the way they do, huh? What's that?
Oh, probably the Tahani saying goodbye to their island. I think I'll go down to the motor pool.
Well, stay out of the way and get back here in an hour. Well. We've got to have this wrapped up and headquarters moved out to the Missouri by dawn.
Navy and instrument room checking in, sir.
That's the last. Have the Missouri take over control and central my jeep.
Yes, sir.
Are the LCTs there standing by with those natives?
Yes, sir. They're on the beach.
The bomb unit is assembled in place, General.
2330. Right on the nose. Robin, start evacuation procedure.
The Tahani have stopped.
Allen's probably moving them out to the beach. Check in with Navy and Air Force, Raleigh.
Yes, sir.
What's that?
It's coming from the beach.
Tahani making trouble. Come on. You, Gilbert, what is it?
Yes, sir. Colonel Allen ordered the Marines in, sir.
What happened? What happened, man?
The natives. They just got up and started marching.
Did they embark?
Oh, you don't understand, sir. They marched up the cliff and right off into the lagoon.
What?
All of them. The women and the kids, too. They didn't even try to swim, sir.
What were you doing all this time? Just standing around with your thumb in your mouth? Where was the Marine detachment?
We couldn't stop them, sir. They just walked over the cliff. They didn't even scream, not even the kids. We sent the crash boats out, but we couldn't get any of them out.
Crazy idiots. Were any of the reporters there?
Cohen and a life photographer.
Get his film and hold it till I release it.
What are you going to do, General? Postpone HR?
It's too late for that now. Calling HR off isn't going to bring the natives back.
But 100 men, women, and children just walking into the water, it's horrible.
Look, I'm not happy about it either, but there's nothing we can do now. I gave them a chance to get off. They didn't want to take it. That's their hard luck, not mine.
I hope you're right.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I was just thinking about the curse the chief put on you. Even as the children of the island end, so will he. That's what he said to you, General.
I heard him.
Keep waiting, General.
The great destroyer will not destroy. That must mean the bomb.
Don't worry, Dr. Muller. It'll take more than a mumbo-jumbo curse from a native witch doctor to stop this operation. At 8 hours, that bomb goes off.
Now, H-hour minus 1 minute, 30 seconds.
H-minus 1:30. Video screens hooked in, sir.
All right, check control stations.
Observation station 1.
Observation station 1, check.
Radiation station.
Radiation control, check.
Test the firing circuit at the Muller.
Station
right,
two.
General.
Observation station two, check.
Damage control all station. Set.
Damage control, check.
Communications.
Communications, check.
All checked in.
It is H minus 1 minute, H minus one.
Take a good look at that island on the screen, Muller. When you throw that key, it just won't be there anymore. Nothing but an atom mushroom over the lagoon.
It's quite a funeral pyre for the Tahani.
Stubborn idiots. The way it serves them right, Muller. It can't get in the way of progress.
Progress? I wonder if it is, General.
It's H minus 30 seconds. H hour minus 30, 29, 28, 27, 26,
the great destroyer. That's what he called the bomb.
Hold it, Muller. Allen, report.
All checked in. Camera's running.
Sound fire warning. Stand by for firing. Ready, Muller?
Ready.
12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
General, it didn't go off.
Relly.
The bomb didn't go off.
Relly, signal and stand by. Condition red. Allen, check readings. Muller, what's wrong? What happened?
I don't know. The bomb didn't go off.
What do you mean? Why did it go off?
I don't know, except for one thing. The Tahani chief said the great destroyer would not destroy. It didn't, General. The bomb didn't go off.
Dimension X will continue in just a moment. It's National Wheaties Week. And from behind the scene in the radio studio, here comes one of Hollywood's foremost radio producers, Mr. Joe Parker, stepping out of the control room to help celebrate National Wheaties Week. Mr. Parker puts on radio programs, and he's a visitor to Dimension X tonight. His regular program for Wheaties is Sarah's Private Caper. Joe's a regular guy. He sits there in the glass cage called the control room, running his show. But right now, here he is at the microphone to say his say about Wheaties. Ready, Joe?
Thanks, Frank. You know, folks, I sit there in the glass cage, as Frank calls it, and I have to stop my programs long enough for him to talk about Wheaties. But you know, I don't mind. I kind of like this talk about Wheaties and milk and fruit. That's a lot of good eating. And I like the idea of celebrating National Wheaties Week, too. You know, we enjoy putting radio programs on for your entertainment. And we'd enjoy knowing that, well, that you're going to try Wheaties because of us. I hope you'll get Wheaties tomorrow and have some. The whole family. Matter of fact, I think I'll join you.
Thank you, producer Joe Parker. If you like this program, friends, get some Wheaties and help celebrate National Wheaties Week.
Got a statement?
Nothing you can use, Cone. Not until we find out what went wrong. We'll let you come aboard this ship.
Yeah, I walked on. You don't know why the bomb failed,
huh? It didn't fail. Just didn't go off.
Say, what's that tank thing on deck, General?
Undersea Salvage Unit Mark IV. They call it an undersea crawler.
Well, somebody going down?
That bomb is down there in the lagoon somewhere. Could go off at any second. Somebody has to go down, find it, and disarm it.
It's a lovely job. Who's elected?
I am. Dr. Muller. He's the only one who knows how to dismantle it.
The crawler's ready, General.
All right, come on, Muller.
I'm ready.
Well, and as soon as we hit shallow water, get those gates open. We'll pull the crawler out, then you get away in a hurry. That bomb goes off while we're working on it. I don't want any casualties.
Yes, sir.
Inside, Muller.
All right. I'm in.
Remember, get this LCT out of the lagoon in a hurry. You got that, Allen? You take your orders from Admiral Yancey.
Yes, sir. And Good luck.
Closing the hatch. Get the sonar and Geiger counter warmed up, Muller.
Right. I was just thinking of something, General. That curse, part of it came true. The bomb didn't go off.
Well?
The second part of that curse was that you would end where they ended, and that was at the bottom of the lagoon.
What are you trying to do, Muller?
Nothing. I was just thinking this crawler is going to take us right down there where the Tahani died.
I'm not worried about a handful of dead natives, Muller. I'm worried about that bomb. Okay, they're opening the gate. Let's go. SU-4 to control. Depth 50 feet, bottom sandy. Grabbing off sharp. Anything on sonar, Muller?
A school of fish.
Ever been down the crawler before?
Only in the tank at New London. I think I've got a Geiger reading dead ahead. Hang on, we're going up over the reef. It must be the bomb, all right. The Geiger counter's clucking like a brood hen.
Keep an eye on the front vision plate. If you run over the bomb, we're liable to set it off.
I think I'm getting something on sonar. Left of point.
USU-4 to control. Over. USU-4 to control. Over.
That's a fine note.
Radio's out.
Dead ahead. It looks too large to be the bomb.
Can't see much in the forward vision plate. Wait a minute. That's part of the reef ahead.
Well, that's where the Geiger reading indicated. The bomb must have settled in a hole in the reef.
You have to go after it in diving suits. Suits are in the locker. Let's get this over with. Less time I spend down here waiting for that bomb to blow, the better I like it. Ready, Muller? Grab your helmet.
You getting me all right on your headset?
Okay, I'm gonna fill the lock. Here goes the outer door. Let's go.
This isn't like that diving tank in New London.
Look out for that car. Cut you to ribbons.
There's an opening of some sort there.
Wait till I get the light up. See if we can get a Geiger reading out of that opening.
Over there. It's down there, all right.
Careful. I'll drop down first.
See anything down there?
Muller, get down here fast.
What is it? You find something?
The bottom of this hole. It's metal on the sides.
But it's the coral reef.
Look. Well, the joints. There's a hull plate of some kind. And
look out above us.
It's closing. Grab it.
It's too late.
That little hatch just lit over the top.
This is impossible. What's going on?
It's like an airlock.
Water's being pumped out. General, do you realize what this means?
Not sure. There's an inner door opening. Careful.
It's a passageway. What do we do now?
There isn't much to do. We can take off our helmets, though. Now shows good air.
Yeah.
All right. Come on.
What is this? Undersea fort? What's it doing here? What does it mean?
Whatever it is, our bomb must be down here.
Wait. There's someone there.
I can't see. There's a shadow. Who is it? Who's that?
Ma'anua, Dr. Mother. Welcome to our ship. We have been waiting for you.
General, it can't be. Do you see it? It's the Tani chief.
How long has the undersea crawler been down, Varelli?
4 hours, sir. Two since we lost contact.
Well, keep trying.
Yes, sir.
I've given them enough time. I'm going to send another crawler down.
What do you figure happened to them, Colonel?
Well, there are a lot of things. Hey, how did you get in here?
I walked in. Say, when are you going to release this, Colonel? It's the biggest story since the election. The bomb, a dud, Dr. Muller, General Gadosh dead.
They're not dead. At least we don't know they are. As long as the bomb doesn't go off, there's still a chance that something could... The bomb. Morelli, condition red. Gilbert, radiation control into action.
Yes, sir.
Get the hot squad into Tejani Lagoon as soon as it's cleared. And get me a PT board with radiation screens.
What is it, Colonel? What happened?
The bomb must have blown.
What about Muller and the general?
If they were down in that lagoon, you guess.
And steady.
Now take her in as close to the beach as you can.
Steady as she goes.
Is there any danger of more explosions?
No, when she goes, she goes.
Radiation 82.
The danger is radioactivity. Our shields aren't much good, but we've got to pick up the recording instruments as soon after the blast as possible.
Radiation 93.5.
Well, that's still safe. Hey, Cohen, is that something on the beach there?
Well, yeah, it looks like a body. Maybe you blew one of the Tahani back out of the lagoon.
No, it's moving. Gilbert, glasses.
Yes, sir.
It's a man, all right.
Head into the beach.
Aye, aye, sir. Who is it, Colonel?
I can't tell, but he's in a diving suit. It's either Muller or General Gadosh.
No radiation burns, superficial bruises, mild shock. He'll be all right, Colonel.
Can he talk?
For a while. I'm going to give him a sedative shortly.
Mm. Muller, what happened? How did the bomb go off?
Oh, you didn't.
He's still out of his head.
Quiet, Cohen, quiet. Go on, Dr. Muller. What did you find?
A ship. A giant metal ship. There under the lagoon.
A submarine?
No. It was a spaceship. Camouflaged right next to the reef.
What?
When we went inside, we found the Tahani chief and all the tribe alive.
What are you saying?
Well, they drowned in the lagoon. I saw them.
No, they didn't commit suicide as we thought. They just dived underwater into the rocket.
A rocket? Built by Polynesian savages?
But they're not savages. They're castaways. They're from another planet. Don't you understand? Their spaceship was wrecked here 400 years ago. They've been waiting ever since for a chance to go home.
This boy's out of his mind. You better put him under the sedative, Doctor.
It's true. They'd exhausted their fuel. They couldn't find anything here on Earth to replace it until we developed atomic power.
Atomic power? You mean they stole our bomb?
They made me dismantle it for them at the point of a gun. And then just before they blasted off, they let me go.
But what about the general?
You
mean they killed him?
You don't understand. I said I dismantled that bomb at the point of a gun. It was General Gadosh who was holding it.
What's that?
Yes, he was one of them, one of their spies, sent out to bring back the rocket fuel they needed. And now, after 400 years, the castaways are going home.
Dimension X has transcribed The Castaways, written by Ernest Canoy from an original story by Ernest Canoy and George Lefferts. Featured in the cast were Santos Ortega as General Gaydosh, Greg Morton as Dr. Muller, your narrator Norman Rose, music by Albert Berman, engineer Bill Chambers. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed tonight by Jack Cuney. In a moment, we'll tell you about next week's show. And now, here is your Wheaties man, Frank Martin.
It's National Wheaties Week. And listen, if producer Joe Parker is going to buy Wheaties tomorrow, and I go out and buy Wheaties tomorrow, and you go out and buy Wheaties tomorrow, well, that makes three of us, huh? And if everybody goes out and buys Wheaties tomorrow, then the whole doggone country is going to be celebrating National Wheaties Week in the proper manner. And it's a real nice celebration, too. Pour out those golden flakes, pour on the milk, put on the fruit, and you'll be eating good to be feeling good. Breakfast of champions. Get yours. It's National Wheaties Week.
Next week on Dimension X, a dramatization of Ray Bradbury's new novel, The Martian Chronicles, the epic story of how man conquered a new planet and then lost his own. Another adventure into the unknown world of the future. The world of
Dimension X.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen also on Saturday, that's tomorrow night, to Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers on the Wheaties Big Parade. It's National Wheaties Week.
Swing your partners right and left. It's National Wheaties Week. Come on, everybody, to the Wheaties party. Eat a lot of Wheaties like the champions do. Dance together cheek to cheek. This is National Wheaties Week. Eat a lot of Wheaties like the champions do. Wheaties are breakfast of champions.
Jack Late tells the story of the Canada Kid, next on NBC.
Well, folks, that was Dimension X and The Castaways, as aired on August the 11th, 1950. I want to thank you all for tuning into the program. I really enjoyed presenting these exciting shows. I like how we were tricked and deceived by what everybody perceived as reality. Have yourselves an excellent, fun weekend, and peace out.
Okay, Max, thanks a lot, and great work as usual. Well, folks, it is that time again when I have to wrap things up and shut things down for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But don't worry, as I have promised time and time again, we will be back again next week, waiting for you in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room to kick off one of those great OTR surprises that we specialize in. If you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them via email to Mikeamelli at earthlink.net. That's MikeAmeli @earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, or as long as you wish. Stick around, chit-chat, start burning that midnight oil, whatever you guys want to do, because guess what? We are punching out. If you guys want to join us next week, please feel free. The MSS crew is always waiting for you guys to come on in. You know, this is what we do, and everybody seems to enjoy it. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye. All right, Dan, kill it.